Well, this morning, are you excited about this morning? I'm excited about this morning. And the reason that I am is because of the message that we're going to speak on all week. And the subject is renewing your mind for change. Renewing your mind for change. We're going to start out with Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 because that's the theme of it. And I gave them a bunch of scriptures today, and I may use all of them. I may throw a couple more in there, but it's okay, they'll follow. But in Romans chapter, we'll start in verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, we can get caught up in that a little bit, but I just want to get you this picture. Tomorrow morning, when you wake up, and you're getting out of bed, right? And for some of us, that's, oh, no, right? And you know, your hair's all messed up, and you know, you're just all out of sorts and everything, but I know it's time to get up, and you flop one leg over the bed and then the other, and then it takes a little bit longer for you to stand up than it used to, but you stand up. It's like, Lord, this morning I'm presenting my body right now as a living sacrifice. Use me today, God. Just use me today, God. I want to be used after all. And I like that. I therefore, brethren, it's like after all that you've done for us and everything that you secured in the Word of God and everything that Jesus paid the price to purchase, because of that, Lord, I just offer myself to you. I mean, this morning, come on, that's what we're doing this morning. Lord, I just offer myself, my body, everything to you. Lord, everything that I do in life, it's just reasonable that I offer it to you. It's just reasonable that I do what you want me to do. It's just reasonable. Why? Because you've done so much for me. And I like this. In the New King James and the King James, it says it's your reasonable service. But there are many translations say that it's your reasonable act of worship. And worship means bowing down before Him. Worship means submitting to Him. Lord, I'm presenting myself to you just as I am. Today you can use me, Lord, because I'm available to you today. And it's my reasonable service. But watch verse 2. That's the one that we were wanting to get to. It said, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And this is a metamorphosis process, but it says, do not be conformed to this world. Years ago, I worked at a shop that had injector molding. And what that was is you'd have these dyes that you'd put in there, and then they'd put hot plastic, and it'd come through the machine, and it'd get to that dye, and it would pressure, the pressure of it would conform that plastic to whatever trinket or anything that was there. So there was the pressure that was put on it to make it come out a certain way. And this says, don't be conformed with the world. How many know today there's a lot of pressure put on, especially Christians, those that are trying to live for God, and the world is saying, don't do that, or don't think that, or this is hate, and that's not hate, and this is right, and that's not right. That's pressure trying to be pushed upon us, right, to conform to what the world would want us to be. How many know that the world is controlled by the God of this world? And the God of this world is Satan. He's the one that's tried to take the place of the Father, right? He's the one that tried to position himself above God, and he got rejected. And so for us today, it's like, no, Lord, I don't want to be conformed to this world. Paul said in another place, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. I think Jesus said that, actually. You're not in the world, but, you know, you're not of the world, but you're in the world. In other words, we're here, and we have to do life with you know, whatever we're faced with. But this says, don't be conformed to this world. But here's the good news, but you can be transformed. I said you can't be transformed. The word transform means change, right? It means changed. And this is the the typical one that's used for this, and I think Donnie used it last week, but it's the process of the caterpillar becoming the butterfly, the metamorphosis of that transfer. And the Word of God, which is so powerful, can change us from the way we were to the way God wants us to be. That's powerful. The Word of God can do that. And watch this. It is a process. It's not an event. The renewing of your mind is a process, and it's not an event. Coming to church might give you seed for the process, but it's not going to do the process. In other words, each one of us have to make a decision that I don't want to be like this, I want to be like this. And Lord, I need your word to help me get through the process so that I'm no longer the caterpillar, but I'm now the butterfly. Does that make sense? It's like, come on. But that the Word of God has the power to do that. I said the Word of God has the power to do that. And let me just say this, and we're going to go in the next few weeks talking about a lot of different things, but I want you to understand that everything starts with your thinking. Everything starts with your thinking and your thought process, right? And sometimes our foundation for the process of thinking is messed up, right? It's just messed up. For instance, if, you know, I'm trying to come up with a ludicrous one, but I don't want to offend anybody, right? But if you, for instance, were of the opinion, like most of the people were in the world, that the earth is flat, you wouldn't go sailing east and west, right? Because I'm not going over the edge, right? But once you were transformed, your thinking was transformed. Wait a minute, it's round. I can go west and keep going west, and I'll come back to the same place because the world is round. You see, your whole foundation for thinking changes. And that's the same thing with the Word of God. The Word of God is supposed to be in us and the process of changing our thinking. Again, our thinking is so incredibly important. I heard this and I thought it was really good this week. This was just so good. I'm still pondering it. But you know, the Bible talks about the secret place of the Most High God. And we talk about, well, you need to get in your secret place, right? And your secret place, and sometimes it's like I got a recliner, or sometimes I'll just sit in my bed and worship the Lord and just think about some things of the Lord. And you say, well, that's my secret place. Well, really, no, that's not your secret place. Your secret place is your heart. Let me say that again. Your secret place is your heart. Where you commune with God is in your heart. And what we're talking about specifically here is the thoughts that come to our mind. What is the source of your thoughts? What are you thinking about? And what are you thinking about on purpose? Right? And if we can change that, if we can change our thoughts to line up with the Word of God, then we're in a position to change into who He wants us to be. So renewing our minds to the Word of God is, first of all, understanding that our thoughts are powerful and our thoughts take us in a direction. Right? We're bombarded with thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God in our daily life. Right? And I'll just give you, you know, some visuals that you can kind of get a hold of. It's kind of like if a man has trouble with lust in certain areas, then he's got to guard his mind from even seeing certain pictures or certain, you know, you got to divert your eyes from that. Why? Because your thought process will go back to that. And if you don't get a hold of that, it's going to lead you into something else. But if you could change your thought process, right, then you won't go into that destination. That's a negative. But on the other hand, it's like, Lord, I want to have more faith. Well, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Holy Spirit, you're the one who reveals the Word to me. So I'm going to spend time trusting you, God, that in your Word, I'm going to have the Holy Spirit reveal His Word to me. And that'll help me to get more confident in what His Word says and what His Word does, right? And I like the last part of this says, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You have to have your mind renewed in order to prove. Think about proving, for instance. I don't know if they do this anymore in school, but it used to be when we were kids going through math class, right? You had to prove your answers, right? You had to go through the process of proving it. What that meant was is you had to write down on paper the steps that got you from where your thinking was to where it was. You proved it out, right? And there's other things. It's like you might have a theory that you've got come up with, and you're thinking, boy, if I just get this theory to work, I think this will work. And so it might be a business, it might be something else. So I'm going to test this theory by putting it into action. And if what my thinking is that if I go through the actions, then it's going to get the results that I want. So you're proving out your theory, or you're proving out your thinking. Are you listening to me? So the renewing of your mind is taking the Word of God, putting it into action, and then proving it by the results that you gain from doing it. Right? Come on. Let me just give you an example that we can all kind of relate to it. And I love this. The joy of the Lord is our strength, right? If you're saved, if you really have that foundation that Jesus is your Lord, then you ought to have some sort of joy inside of you. But yet, we have so many Christians, I'm saved, but they look like they've been working at the pickle factory. Right? And they're just sour all the time. Bless God, Jesus loves, and you just go, oh my God. We see what happens is, they know that that's true, but they haven't set the foundation in their heart by meditating and renewing their mind to the Word of God, where that's their reality. But once you do that, and once you figure out by the Word of God and putting that inside of you, it transforms you from trying to being. Right? I don't have to try to have the joy of the Lord. I have the joy of the Lord. And really, if I'm walking with God, my life should be positive and not negative. Why? Because I know that I know that He's got everything worked out. I mean, I've read the beginning, I've read the end, we win at the end. So it doesn't matter what happens to me here. As long as the process, I know that I'm proving out that His Word is true. Are you with me? So renewing your mind is the process where you get your thinking in line with, and not just your thoughts here, you know, the random thoughts, but your basis of thought. Truth is nothing more than the way you think things are. So your truth is based on either the thoughts you've come up with or thoughts that have been put into you. How many know that He's truth? His way is truth. Let God be true and every other man a what? In other words, if you don't line up with God, it's not right. And I don't care what society says. I don't care what anybody else says. This is the truth. So, but I want to walk in that. I want to live that out. I want to prove that out. Why? So that when people look at me, they can see the difference and it can lead them back to the truth. Does that make sense? So renewing our mind is a big thing. It's a huge thing. And what are we thinking? What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Now, again, I believe that the Spirit of God speaks to us by His Spirit, right? He speaks to us by His Spirit, but that is reflected how? I don't know if any of you have ever heard this big booming voice coming from the outside, Bruce, this is God. I want you to get up and pray today. I've never heard anything like that, right? But I have heard the voice of God. Well, where did you hear the voice of God? How did you hear the voice of God? My thoughts. In other words, God and the enemy will do the same thing, but he invades our thoughts. And so renewing our mind to the Word of God gives us weapons to filter our thoughts. Is this of God or is this not of God? Well, what does the Word say? And the more that we know what the Word says, the quicker it is to discern the thoughts. When you know the Word of God, and you know that He says not to lie, but that thought process that you've had all your life, well, a little lie doesn't hurt, right? Or this little thing doesn't matter. And you know, everybody lies anyway. And that's your thought. You got to, wait a minute. He said not to lie. And so therefore, that's my new thought process. So whenever lying comes up, it's already covered. Why? Because I've made a decision, right? I've made a decision. Candy? Listen, I've made a decision. John must be in charge. Donnie's not there. It made a decision, right, to walk with him. Are you getting this? So renewing our mind with the Word of God is critical to walking in the way that He'd have us walk. And again, what does renewing our mind mean? It means thinking like He thinks. How do we know what He thinks? We know what He thinks because He's written it down for us. And we can study it. This is not in the notes, but turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to start out in verse 3. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. In other words, we walk because we're in the flesh. We're living our lives out like everybody else lives their lives out. But this says we don't war like out of our flesh. What does that mean? That means I don't have to get my way, or I don't have to bully my way. I don't have to make things happen in my own way by doing all on my own. Why? Because I'm no longer on my own. I'm living for Him. We don't war after the walk in the flesh, nor we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, I've been at this quite a while, and back in the day, we had these people coming out, and there was conventions about doing spiritual warfare. Have you ever heard that term? Spiritual warfare. And man, these people, they would rent planes and they'd go above the cities and they begin to proclaim things. And some of it had some validity to it, but the reality of it, that's not the context of what we're talking about here. We're talking about strongholds and the warfare of strongholds. But verse 5 says, casting down every argument and high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So the stronghold that he's talking about here is when we're operating in our thinking according to what we feel, what we see, what we taste, and what we touch, instead of what the Word of God says. Are you with me? The Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, but my flesh must say, I'm just going to give up. I'm going to quit. But if you've renewed your mind to the Word of God, that will become your final authority in your life. And so what it says is my reality, not what I feel, not what I see, not what I touch. And the stronghold might be, well, let me just give you an instant. Well, you know, you were born this way. Your daddy was like that. My dad didn't, and I don't, but he had an anger problem, and your grandfather had an anger problem, and your great grand, and so that's just who you are. That's your heredity. That's, well, and so that's a stronghold, isn't it? Well, I just get mad. That's just who I am. I'm Italian. I'm whatever. I just get mad. And you go, no. The Word of God says, this is who I am. Right? The Word of God says, this is who I am. So I am not going to let who others or even my past behavior dictate what I'm going through. But in order for me to get out of the stronghold of having an anger problem, I need to take the Word of God and make that the source of everything that I have and everything that I feel and everything that I do, so that anger will not be a problem anymore. I've used this example before, but it bears witness right here. Before I got saved, and even after I got, isn't it amazing? We sometimes think, well, I got saved, so all my thinking should be changed. But that doesn't happen. I got saved, and I know I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, but my body's the same. So what got new? Your spirit got new, but your soul has still got some work to do. Right? Your thinking still has some work to do. So years ago, I was one who had an excuse for everything. It was never my fault. So if I was wrong, it was because somebody else did something. Or, you know, I could always come up with an excuse. So, and I was a liar too. Let me just give you an example. When I was in my early 20s, I worked, and again, this was before Christ, I worked enough hours to get enough money to be able to party. So if I was on the weekend partying and I wanted an extra day, then I'd call into work and say, well, my car's got a flat tire, you know, the drive line went out. I mean, you know, just all these things that were just nothing but lies because I wanted an extra day off. So that was kind of my MO. And so, you know, after months of this, the boss came up to me and said, you know, we can't have this anymore, you know. And so my credibility was in the toilet. But I got saved. And I started renewing my mind to what the Word of God says. And I started to figure out that I can't be that man anymore. And watch this, that whole thing shifted around. Because of what God did on the inside of me. I'll tell you, I was working, and by this time I've been working in the shipyard, and I was working on this project, and it didn't work right. It failed. So the boss came up to me, and my MO from the past would have been, well, it was because of this, it was because of that, it was because of this, it was because of that. And I just said to him, boss, I screwed up. It's my fault. I take full responsibility. I'll rework it and do it over. And, you know, I didn't get, watch this, my eval for that day was not great. But the credibility that I had in him caused me to get promotion later. Do you see what I'm saying? So what happened? My whole MO for being and acting had been changed because of God's influence in his word in my life. See, what happened? I'd renewed my thinking and my source of my thinking to change who I was. So this renewing our mind for the change is a big deal. In fact, watch this. You will never change anything about you until you change your thought process concerning it. It's just true. It's a big, big deal. So renewing our mind to the Word of God is what gives us the power to be able to do it. And it's an amazing process. Again, another story about how I was working again. But I've been meditating on the Word of God, and specifically 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses through 8. Love is, you know, kind. Love is not envious. Love does not boil over with jealousy, on and on and on. But there's a verse there in the Amplified that says, love believes the best of every person. So when I say renewing my mind, the process was I'd get up in the morning and I'd see this on my mirror and I'd say it over myself and to myself through the mirror into my eyes. I'd say, you know, I'd put myself in there because the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. So I'm going to walk in love. So I said, Bruce, you're kind. You don't envy. You're not boastful. You're not arrogant or proud. You believe the best of every person. So this is going on. I'd say it in the morning. I'd say it at noon. I had a 3x5 card in my car. And I'd say, over and over and over and over again, I would say it. So one day I'm at work and you know, I'm working with another fellow. And like any of you that work shift work before in your life, that means first, second, and third shift, right? The other shifts were always the problem. Your shift was the right one, right? It didn't matter which shift you were on. So I'm talking with this guy as I'm working with him, and we started to talk about Bob. And he started to say all these things about Bob. And my MO would have been to join in with him. And I can remember, like, it's the words were starting to come out of my mouth. But because I'd been renewing my mind to the Word of God, it caught them and put them back in. Why? Because love believes the best of every person, even Bob. See, I changed who I was and the actions that I normally would go to by changing my thoughts to line up with his thoughts. Are you with me? But that's a process. It's not something that happens overnight. How many have ever had this experience? And I know my sermons, you remember them all week long. I'm sure of that. But have you ever been in a service where you go, man, that was good. But by Tuesday, you can't remember a thing that was said. I believe you still have been impacted by it. But if you really want to get it to where it's transformative, what you have to do is get the principle of what was being said, find the scriptures that line it up, and begin to renew your thinking to the principle. Does that make sense? It's not enough. Coming to church, even on I come Sunday, I come Wednesday. You know, used to be in church, it was Sunday nights, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday. I mean, we a lot of church services. And we backed off of that. But it doesn't matter how many times I come to church. That's not going to change me necessarily. Now, I believe in prayer, and I've seen people delivered and changed in an instant, right? But even in that, if they want to keep what they got, they have to have their minds renewed to take a hold of that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is, it's like, okay, Lord, I just need to start speaking this over myself. I need to keep reminding myself or renewing my mind, right, based on what your word says. All right, and I'm going to be skipping all over the place. Sorry about that, Charles, but go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. There's so much in here, and we've got some weeks to get through it, so we will spend some time in this because I think it's that important. I think it's really important that you begin to think differently. Start thinking about yourself differently. And here's what's really cool is Ephesians chapter 4. Here's what's really cool. You begin to think differently, it will change generations going forward, right? For instance, if you came from a family and your family was, you know, had a predisposition of we're poor, we'll always be poor, we've been poor as far as way back when, we're just poor people, we're just, you know, that's just who we are, we'll never grow out of that, and that's your thinking, well, that's going to keep you poor going forward. But if you start to change your thinking, well, wait a minute. How do people who have more money think? Or let my thinking start to change. And you begin to change that, and then you start to live that out, and your children see you living out a different paradigm than what you were raised in, then your kids are going to be different than you were. And they'll be further ahead because you've changed the paradigm by renewing your mind to it. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And it's kind of like when our kids were small, they're not small anymore, but when they were small, we used the scriptures a lot, and we did this process for ourselves and for them that we'd speak scripture over them. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Nothing is impossible for those who believe. And we put inside of them possibility thinking based on the Word of God. Positive thinking based on the Word of God. And I'm telling you that my children had a basis to grow off of that was much higher than mine. Right? And I grew up in a great family. Don't misunderstand me. But the thinking was different. And so both of my kids, if success is having kids that turn out better than you are, I'm very successful. Because both of my kids are just awesome and great. But here's what I'm saying is that the renewing of your mind is not only important for you, it's important for the generations behind you. And it's never too late to do the process. Right? Marty's not here today, so I could talk about her. Don't tell her. But I could talk about her. She started coming to our church, and let's just say that Marty's a spitfire. And in her past, she's been known to, get angry quickly. And her kids knew her from that. Well, she started to come into church, and God started working on her, and her kids would watch her, and they go, "Mom, you're not going to get mad? No. What's wrong, Mom? What's going on?" Usually by this time, you'd have been off the handle, and the handle would have been thrown in the closet, and, it would have been, well, because the Word of God and the process of putting the Word inside of her changed her, and she doesn't react the same way anymore. Why? Because her mind has been renewed to the Word of God, and her thinking based on that renewal changes her perspective. Now watch this in Ephesians chapter 4, and let's start out in verse 22. That you, everybody say you. You means me. Let me say that again. You means me. So if you have a Bible and you can write in it, and if you don't have a Bible that you can write in, throw that one away and get one that you can. Where it says you, put your name. So in other words, Bruce, put off concerning your former conduct. Right? In other words, there's a responsibility that we have. But God never asks us to do something that He doesn't empower us to do. So He says, put off your, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Look at verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So we're supposed to put off the old and put on the new. But the way that we put off the old is in the spirit or the attitude of our mind. In other words, the way that we think should change in order for us to get from there to here. I don't think the same way that I used to think. I don't act the same way I used to act. I don't believe that everybody's out to get me anymore. I believe the best of every person. I believe in the potential of every person. You know, I've had people come through the church years past, and it seemed impossible. You know, they come in high, they come in drunk, they come in mad, they come in, all of those things. And some of it just seems hopeless. Why? Because they've been through rehab 10 times and they've done this 10 times and they've been through that. But you know what? I believe in the potential of God working in everybody, and nobody is a hopeless case. And so because of that, I've watched people's lives change and be transformed. And I'm patient with the process. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen. But watch this. You have to continue the process even after the process has created change. Why? Because it's easy, if you don't continue the process, to fall back to a default setting and to put you back where you were. Right? If you have a cloud over your life and that's the way you were raised and grew up, everything's bad, everything bad always happens to me. Right? And everything's, you know, it's, if we get lost in Spokane, we're going to be lost forever and all of that, right? If that's the cloud that's over your life, right, you have to change that thinking. Say, wait a minute, God's got me. God's got care of me. I don't have to stay bound by that. I need that stronghold to be removed. But the way that it's removed is that you put the Word of God into your thinking, so that you're thinking more of that than you were the other, right? And so this whole process is often like a corrupt computer. A hard drive on a computer is corrupt. So rather than trying to fix the hard drive sometimes, you got to wipe it out and start over, right? We just need to wipe this thing out and we'll build it back up and we'll do it the right way. Much like I've... wasn't in the military. I'm so, you know, deeply proud of those of you who were. But I've read a few books on military leadership in different styles. But boot camp is an interesting phenomenon. Because in boot camp, they bring all of these, and usually they're 18, 19-year-old kids, sometimes in the 20s, but they bring them in. And you know what they do? Is for the first half of boot camp, they destroy everything that they think. And sometimes it's not pretty, right? And they break them down. Why? So that they can build them back up into who they want them to be. That's why 18-year-old kids come out of Marine boot camp and put a bulldog on their shoulder because, well, Semper Fi, you know, all of that. What they've done is they've changed their base of thinking. You were this before you came into boot camp. You're now this when we get out of boot camp. See, it's the process of making somebody useful for the Army or the Navy or the Marines or whatever. This is the same process that we're going through. God wants to take us from where we are to make us more useful for His kingdom. But the process is He wants the old out and the new in. And it, not just in your thinking, but in your attitudes, in everything that's consumed with you. Are you with me? Come on. I want to be better. I want to be stronger. I want to, you know. And we can't allow other things to take over and make excuses for why we can't do what God tells us to do. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this, and I never allow it to go forward. Well, I wouldn't have done that if she wouldn't have done this. She just nags me all the time, and it makes me so mad, and so I said, well, shut up. I said, you have no excuse, because she can't make you anything. Do you understand? She or he can't make you anything. No one can make you anything. It's your choice to meditate on the thoughts that came when she did what she did or he did what they did. It's your thoughts meditating on that that caused your actions. If you change the way that you think, it will cause your actions to be different. Renita's not here. Don't tell her the story. She knows the story. And she'll probably listen. Love you, honey. But watch this. One day, and I got a hold of this whole thought that nobody can control you unless you hand them the controls. Right? And you get your mind renewed to the Word of God. You go, wait a minute. So we're at church service, as years ago. We're at church service, and you know, sometimes people are oblivious to ministers and their needs and stuff in church service. So they were just dumping on Renita, just dumping on her some things that had happened. And you know, so after church, everybody's gone. We're down in the basement of the church and walking across to the office. And she's walking in front of me, and I'll just say that she was not happy, right? And my MO is, I have to fix that. I have to somehow fix that, her unhappiness. And what that process would do to me is I'd start to go down into a funky area. But we're walking across, and it wasn't a very far walk, as you remember in the old church. We're walking across. I got about 3 steps away from the stairs, and I just stopped. And I went, wait a minute. Wait a minute. She can choose to go down that direction, and my compassion would help her if I could, but I don't have to. Because the Word of God said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I'm not going to let the devil steal my joy because somebody else is having a bad day or somebody else is thinking different, whether it's Renita or anybody. I can choose differently. And what that did is it arrested me. And I went, bless God, I'm having a good day. You can choose to have a, and I'm using Renita in this standpoint, but it could be anybody. You'd be at work and somebody said, well, you know, the boss, I mean, you know, this is just horrible and this is just terrible and you know how they are and it's a big company and, you know, and it gets you sucked into this funk where you're going, yeah, I hate this job, you're right? And you, if you stop and you've renewed your mind to the Word of God and you go, wait a minute, I'm not working for that guy anyway. Everything I do is I do unto the Lord and I'm grateful in all things. Right? So it doesn't matter what they do necessarily to me because I'm working for Him. It changes everything. What's happened? You've changed your source of thinking to something different so that you get a different outcome and the spirit of your mind has changed to a new reality. That's powerful. It's powerful, but it's a process, and it's a process that starts out with you. This is what God says. 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 Even though your default setting is go, yeah, okay. But the more that you put that in there, the more that it gives you a frame of reference so that when a thought comes contrary to what you're putting in, you go, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's not what God says. And you can change so that you can prove what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. That's what I'm going to think on. That's what I'm going to go on. I'm going on His Word. Amen? Amen. A couple more scriptures and we'll close for the day. Go to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23. And verse 7 is where we're going, but I'm going to read a few others to kind of put this in context. Verse 5 says, will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings and fly away like an eagle from heaven. As then verse 6, it says, do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacy. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. And the morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. What he's saying here is first of all, that a person can say something, but that's not what they're thinking. That's not who they are. As a man thinketh, so is he. In other words, the source or your core of what you believe and what your thought process is who you are. If you're an angry person, that's who you are. If you're a sad person, that's who you are. Because as he thinks in his heart, or she thinks in her heart, that's who she is. So you think, but I don't want to be sad anymore. I don't want to be angry anymore. I don't want to be miserable anymore. I don't want to have the thinking that my life is just cursed. What do you have to do? You have to get the Word of God, find out what it says, that Jesus removed all curses. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. And you begin to meditate on that and begin to meditate on that. And what happens? Your source of thinking changes. So when your source of thinking changes, you change. Because that's not who you are anymore. Because God's Word has gotten inside of you and it's changed how you think. So I'm something new. Amen? Amen? It's a process, though. It doesn't happen overnight. I wish it did. I wish I could have everybody come in. You know, I could lay hands on them and instantly they'd be changed. That person that comes in and that every week they're just miserable. And, well, this lady has gone home to be with the Lord now. She was never in this church, but I had this one lady that, and this was years ago, I was a young man, really young. But I'd go into her house and I'd say, well, how are you doing? And man, it was 5 to 10 minutes of every ache and pain and, you know, things bad at work. And it was horrible. Horrible. And so after, you know, months of that, I didn't ask her how she was doing anymore. I went in there and said, it's a great day today. You know, this is what's happening. And this is even before I got saved. And why? Because I didn't want her thinking to infect my thinking. Because my thinking is very important to me because it's a determining factor on where I'm going. So we have to be absolutely. If you want to get rid, watch this, we'll get more into this next week. But if you want to get rid of a habit, for instance, or something you have, there's a stronghold in your mind or lust, whatever it is, lying, cheating, it doesn't really matter. Whatever that is. I would get the scripture out and I would just concentrate, run the concordance, whatever, and every scripture that you can that concerns that and the freedom that Jesus has paid the price for you to be free from that. And I just start meditating on that, meditating that, meditating that, meditating that. And this scripture, we're not going to turn there, but in Galatians chapter 5, it says, walk in the Spirit. And you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. That means walking with the Spirit. That means walking in light of what the Spirit is doing. And the Spirit and the Word agree. So you put more of the Word inside of you. And you begin to meditate on it and say, Lord, He's working mightily in me. He's doing a change in me. And don't worry about the destination at this point. Worry about the process to get to the destination. And if you do that, you'll get to the destination. Y'all get something this morning? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, the ladies aren't here, so we're quitting early. But Lord, I just praise you, Lord, for everybody that's watching online, everybody that's going to be watching later. Thank you, Lord, personally for this message, because it's so easy to let this process slip. And just allow yourself to go thinking on things that you shouldn't be thinking on. But Lord, today, this morning, right now, we just renew our minds to the process of renewing our mind. And we ask you, God, to help us. Give us scripture. Holy Spirit, lead us to those scriptures that will help us stand against the strongholds that are trying to destroy us. Lord, for everybody that's watching online, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's where you begin. You just say, Father, I just come to you. I know that I need a Savior, because there's no way I could live a life that would be worthy and pleasing in your sight. So I just receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I give you my life to do with me as any way, anything that you want in the future. Jesus, I believe that you're Lord. I believe, Father, you raised him from the dead. The Bible says if you did that, then you're saved. So begin to walk with him, talk with him. If you need prayer for anything, we just want to be with you. Call us. We'll pray for you. We'll come over and pray for you. We'll lay hands on you. And Father, I just ask you to bless all of those who are watching online. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen.